A happy day today for Bill Gilbertson. He's had a long and storied career in the great outdoors on the West Coast. He co-founded the Nelson Tasman Trails Trust in 2009 and has been instrumental in the expansion of public trail access in the region. Some of his achievements include the creation of the Great Taste Trail and the Coppermine Trail, among many others. And to recognise his work earlier today, the Outdoor Access Commission recognised Bill with the Nelson Trailmakers Award, celebrating his lifetime contribution to outdoor access. Well, Bill's still hard at work as a trustee for the Nelson Tasman Cycle Trail Trust, and we wanted to honour him today, so we've invited him to talk about his career and what else might be on the horizon. Hi there, Bill.
Hello, Jesse.
Congratulations. How'd this morning go?
Oh, lovely. Thank you, Jesse. It was nice to have a collection of people who have supported me and family and friends there.
Nobody gets into conservation and nature and the outdoors to win awards, but what did it mean to you?
it's a lovely sort of thank you gift. Not that I'm finishing in any manner of time, but certainly the projects I've been involved in terms of outdoor access, it's a nice thank you. Yeah.
Where did it all begin for you?
I suppose really in terms of conservation first was my first passion when I was living on the West Coast, and I had a big involvement in forest and bird, and in terms of saving the West Coast forests, 130,000 hectares, that was really, I put sort of 15 years into that and making sure that happened. But in terms of access on the West Coast, certainly there was looking at access for tracks, where they should go, what sort of huts they should be, how many helicopter flights should be flying onto the glacier, that sort of thing. So that was sort of initially where it started, yeah.
Yeah, so some people might not have connected those two things so much, the walking, the hiking, you know, the exercise, the getting out there, and the conservation, but it sounds like they're sort of inextricably linked for you.
They certainly are. I mean, when I came to Nelson, I sort of was involved in conservation, but then I started getting involved in cycling. A friend of mine, I suppose I can blame him for it, Ian, for it, and getting involved. And I started looking at where can we bike, you know, where can we have not just short trails, but long trails. And, I mean, that's the development of the Great Taste Trail, 200 kilometres of trail now, almost finished. We're just about on the last stretch now. Which is a wonderful asset for people, and with the expansion of electric bikes, is certainly the numbers are increasing rapidly here.
I understand your son had something to do with it as well.
My son got into mountain biking, and as a good dad, I thought, well, I've got to go and try this as well, and discovered that there was a whole lot of dads there, and we used to race as a group, more or less, as the dads racing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was a desire, and this is the basic problem, right? You wanted to get out there, particularly on your bike, but there weren't necessarily enough long-distance biking trails for you to enjoy and access.
Yeah, I mean, there was mountain biking was developing in the early 2000s, but trails as such that were for that families and things like that could bike were not. Not really well. You had to go on the road, and that's not really satisfactory in terms of time to take children or just older people who want to get out and just enjoy the outdoors. Yeah.
Some people, when they get involved in conservation and related things, they just enjoy getting out there, doing some weeding or, you know, taking a machete to open up some trails. But you got quite into the administrative side of it as well, which isn't the dream of a lot of people. How did you find that mix of the planning, the management plans, the meetings, the committee stuff, as well as your desire to actually get out there, get out and about?
Sometimes it was very drawing on your spirit on that, when people were just putting barriers in your way in terms of trying to establish, you know, agreements between people. But I found it as a bit of a challenge, really. I've always found trying to get people together to at least find some common ground, certainly between conservation or between recreation and people wanting to go places. I've just always found it a challenge. I still get out in the outdoors and enjoy it, and probably that's where I relaxed and can think about what am I going to do at this next meeting.
What have you learned about how to get things done?
I think that the thing to do always is to consider the person who may not have the same point of view as you do, and sort of see how would they think about this. I always said to Forest and Bird Conference once, how would you feel if you were a forester who had been trained to cut down trees and some greenie came along and said to you, sorry, you haven't got a job anymore, all that training you did was a waste of time. So you've got to get into the head of the other person and try and think from their point of view as well to try and solve an issue.
Yeah. So you're not thinking about a run in the election this year, are you? Sounds like we could use you in politics.
No, I think I'll stay away from politics. I try to influence politicians, but I think I'm better in the background, actually.
Let's talk about some of your successes then. The Great Taste Trail, is that one of your highlights?
Yes, certainly is the Great Taste Trail. I mean, as I said before, it's expanded way beyond what we originally dreamed. Some areas now we're going back, and I was just talking to the Deputy Mayor of Tasman today about the possibility of one of the closer areas to town, widening it out and possibly sealing it. You know, that may be a long-term goal. That's the sort of thing that the numbers have created now. People are just out there doing it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, what is the trail? Let us know.
The trail basically leaves Nelson, heads out to Richmond, and then heads south through a mixture of farmland, and then goes through New Zealand's longest unused tunnel. It's 1,400 metres, and then round to Tapawera, back down the Motts Valley, branch out to Kaitiri, back round the coastal area, right back to Nelson. Yeah.
And presumably, based on the name of this trail, there's places to stop for a bite or a drink along the way.
Yes, it's a little bit confusing. Some people say there's not bites everywhere. I think that's starting to develop it more. But the taste also refers to that people can pop in and do a bit of the trail. So they can do a taste of the trail. They can do the remote backcountry section, or they can do the close-to-town section or the river section. So that's really what the taste is. It's come and taste a little bit of the trail.
Yeah. Really, it seems to me that your success or your distinctive contribution is that you weren't willing to wait around for someone else to do this stuff.
Yeah, that's probably been what I've done all the time. I think it's no use just complaining about something if it's not done. A strong conservationist, Kevin Smith, from a long time ago when I was working with him, he said, if you've got an idea, write it up. Stick it on a piece of paper and just put it in the drawer until perhaps the time comes along that it's popular to talk to a politician about it or somebody else that might have the funding. Pull it out of the drawer and say, here's your answer. That was something that happened to me in terms of free hut fees for children on the Great Walks.
Yeah, that's something that a lot of listeners will have benefited from. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, we were sitting around a campfire many years ago when we had families and at Tauranui, in fact, and we said the Great Walks are just getting too expensive for families. And I said, well, let's just start a little campaign. So I started a little campaign to make it free for New Zealand children on the Great Walks. And Chris Carter at the time was running a big conference on how can we interest young people in going places, and I said, here's one, and he said, oh, that sounds like a good idea. So it had already been developed, and it just was pick it up and run with it. And that's basically how I've tried to do things. Think of an idea, put it down, and then when the time's right, just pull it out of the drawer. Yeah.
Do you sometimes the use of land, particularly our shared public spaces, is put in opposition to protection, conservation of the land? Do you think that is a tension? Or do you think it's possible that one might support the other?
Both, actually. Yes, it is a tension. Because the higher the conservation aspect of the land, the less it should be impacted. I mean, the typical example is a nature reserve. You wouldn't think of putting a big cycle track through a nature reserve, whereas something that's very spread out and is recreation orientated, like Molesworth Station, you would definitely promote access there. And that's the two extremes. And in between, you've got to talk to what people perceive the land to be. First off, I always say that the ecology of the land comes first, but then the recreation has to fit within that ecology somehow and within people's expectations of what they are. People's expectations will be different. Some people may want to ride, you know, a big motorbike or a four-wheel drive in places that are inappropriate, but most people are really good. And I think that's the argument. Most people can see what should be done. Yeah.
Hey, well done. Really nice to talk to you and looking forward to see what you do next, Bill. Thanks for your service to the community.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesse. Yep.
Bill Gilbertson, who's been honoured by the Outdoor Access Commission for some of the many projects he's been involved with, particularly around the West Coast and Nelson Tasman.